The scripture reading today is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. A green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump, from his roots a budding branch. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him, the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, the Spirit that gives direction and builds strength, the Spirit that instills knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be all his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth's poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning, he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots, and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. That concludes today's reading.
Before we come to today's second scripture reading, I want to remind us all that this reading originated from a period long, long before Christ. Some even say 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. And at this time, a prophet of old Isaiah was addressing the people of Judah. And at that time, not much remained of the once proud people of God. It was a time of war, plague, and famine. At night, orphan children were crawling into creepy corners, kept awake by the unholy Trinity, cold, hunger, and fear. Isaiah no longer even talked about the so-called important things like politics or religion. Life was tough in Palestine, as life is still tough for countless millions in our world. Now, at this time, the prophet Isaiah painted a hopeful and surprising picture for the people of his time. So just listen as we read the next passage. Isaiah tells about a child that would be born, a deliverer of the people, a Messiah that would come. The wolf will romp with the lamb. The leopard sleep with the kid. Calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together, and the lion eats straw like the ox. The nursing child will crawl over rattlesnake dens. The toddler stick his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep, ocean wide. And on that day, Jesse's root will be raised high, posted as a rallying banner for the peoples. The nations will all come to him. His headquarters will be glorious. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be a blessing for you and me this very morning. I want you to take a look at a famous painting of the artist Edward Hicks. Now, many of you may have seen this painting before. There were actually different versions. And Edward Hicks painted the same painting over and over again, and it changed every time, with the basic ingredients remaining the same. And he called it the Peaceable Kingdom. Now, if you look carefully, his symbols of the animals were joined to a quotation of Isaiah's prophecy in the Bible that we just read in Isaiah 11, verse 6. And if you see one of the original paintings, he actually wrote Isaiah 11, verse 6 around on the border of this painting. The wolf will romp with the lamb, the leopard sleep with the kid. Calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and the little child will tend them. Now Hicks painted the animals as symbols of human behavior. The lion was quick-tempered and willful. The wolf was full of melancholy and reserved. The bear was sluggish and greedy. The leopard buoyant. It's all there in the picture, symbolized human qualities. It includes violence, rage, egoism, greed, but it also contains Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Messiah, the child that was to be born, the child that would come and live amongst us and soothe the wild animals within us and bring us to eternal peace. Only a few days are left before Christmas 2010. So let us then focus on the long expected child. Now, recently, the newspaper on a university campus offered a prize for the best definition of the word life. This is really true. Here is something of what they got. One said, life is a joke that is not funny. Another one quipped, life is a jail sentence which we get for the crime of being born. And someone summed it up like this. And remember, these are young university students. Life is a disease for which the only cure is death. Gloomy. At first glance, it is really hard to believe that privileged students with their promising lives ahead of them are able to think up such pessimism, such negative definitions of life. But I must remind you that in a way, they may have a point. Maybe they realize that all of us are involved with what is happening in the world of today. And it is indeed true. Childhood is a brutal experience for half of the world's children. Poverty, conflict and AIDS destroy crucial years of children. More than half the children in the developing world are deprived of one of the goods and services essential to childhood. So, whenever Isaiah tells the story, whenever he paints a picture of prophecy for us, he always highlights the child. The child. The child to be born. Not the jaws in the picture, nor the claws, neither the talons, nor the felons, neither the aggression and nor the depression, but the child. The child. The promise of God set down right in the middle of all this milling madness. Now our Christian faith, much later, tells us the name of the promised child. And the Bible tells us that he is the one who stands on the side of all those who suffer, then and to this very day. Tells us that somehow he will put to rest finally, the warring of the nations. The wilderness remains, but its power is harnessed for peace. Isaiah foretells, "For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." But the question is, what do we do when we are in that corner? What do we do when we are all alone? What do we do when life crowds us like a bully, or when we sit on our thin mattresses in the cancer ward? In that unforgettable movie based on the true story of Patch Adams, Robin Williams plays the part of an aspiring doctor in the 1970s who attempted to treat his patients with a medicine that modern science had totally disregarded. Patch Adams tried to treat his patients with a little bit of humor, with a laugh, with a smile. Because he tried to deal with the reality of his suffering patients. Amongst them were burn victims, deformities, terminal cancer. He was surrounded by so much pain, so many tears. Somebody had to bring a little cheer, he thought. And this is what he actually did. And that's why they thought it good enough to make a movie about his life. He got one of those clown's noses and a bright red foam ball. And somebody gave him a pair of oversized shoes. And then he painted his face and he pulled on a wig and went to work the next day dressed, made up like that. And as can be expected, some of the children were scared of him. Some were captivated. And they say that some began to smile a little, for them the first time in ages. But for others, reality was too horrible. They couldn't overcome even that moment. They couldn't stop crying. The pain, the agony, the loneliness. So Patch Adams wondered, what do I do about those kids that can no longer stop crying? So the next day, the clown brought along some popcorn. And when he came to the side of a crying child, he took a kernel of popcorn, he placed it gently against the cheek, and he soaked cascading tears with its fluff. You know what? And then he popped that kernel into his mouth. And they say that was a stroke of genius. The only time some of those children stopped crying was the moment they knew that somebody else had cared enough to eat their tears. And that is the hope of this moment in the prophecy of Isaiah, when he sees the tears of his people all around him. Look, said the prophet of old to the people around him, someone is coming to your cancer ward this morning. Somebody is coming to eat your tears. Someone is coming to stand beside you in your pain. And that brings us to the New Testament. There's the story of Jesus in the desert, deep in the wilderness. And he was in a place of great suffering, says the Bible, great pain, great temptation. Ja, Jesus was indeed tempted in the wilderness. Tempted to find a way for himself out of the desert. Tempted to give up his torment in exchange for fame and for wealth and for power. The Bible says that Jesus then refused the worldly crown offered him. He refuses it because it offers too little. And there, in the wilderness, in the desert, Jesus made a choice. And that's where he became Savior, in a new and in a different way. A Savior for those who wander in the desert of life with him. The lost, the lonesome and suffering gathered around him, and somehow they discovered that he can lift up, save, and keep them as well. And we believe that the decisive moment, the coming kingdom of God, is when a suffering world will begin to rethink its warring madness and its destruction of each other. As Christians, we even believe that the child in Isaiah's wilderness changes everything. And what happens in that moment? Isaiah talks about singing, joy, gladness, dancing. How could that be? What was there to laugh about? At that time, now, even today, I think that's where we all need to pause and think deeply about Jesus Christ, his role in our personal lives, his place right here and now. Think deep, and you will understand. We live in a world where the beasts are still not silent, laying next to one another in peace. There are still children in terrible places all over the world, only hoping for a little food. Oh yes, the world is filled even today with sorrow, with suffering and pain. And that is the message that we have the privilege not only to believe, but to bring, to spread out, to tell the world about the child to be born for Isaiah was a child that would come and stay with us, become part of our world, and he would often stand among the beasts and soothe them. Sometimes, in a ministry of decades, I've experienced moments like that, where you have no words of hope to bring, just tears to share. And by doing that, Christ is born in that discussion. And the hope and the light brought into this world by the coming of Jesus Christ becomes the foundation of our faith, of our message, as we move around in times like these. That eventually the child will stand among the nations and quiet them down that nuclear arsenals will be a thing of the past. A day when the child will clap his hands in the desert night and the dancing for the world will begin. So when you and I wrestle with our deserts, with our wilderness, with our uncertainty, here then, it's Christmas time. The child comes to tame the fear in your life, the uncertainty. So let us get rid of our own wretched crowns that we pretend to carry. And let's place it in the hand of the child of our advent, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let us pray. Come, O long-expected Jesus, born to set all people free, from our fears and sins release us. Grant us today your true liberty. Amen.